Think back to the last time you took a vacation. Why did you go? What was your favorite part of that vacation? What was your least favorite part of that vacation? If you're anything like me, the least part of a vacation is always the trip. I hate the trip. I'm looking forward so much to the actual vacation that the trip is always just a terrible part for me. And tonight, I'd like to relate that to our Christian walk. This time, I'd like to thank our visitors for coming here. You are our honored guests, and we welcome you. Also, I'd like to thank the elders for giving me the opportunity to speak to you. If you have your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, I'm going to begin reading in verse 13. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 13, reads, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly they seek a homeland." Also, I'd like to turn a couple pages over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter 2:11 reads, "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." When you think of a couple of these words, pilgrims and sojourners, that's how the Bible describes us. We are pilgrims and sojourners. But a lot of the times when we see these words, we don't fully understand what they mean. Pilgrims, I always think of Thanksgiving. But a pilgrim actually is a traveler or a wanderer. And to sojourn means a temporary stay. So we are travelers and wanderers, and here is a temporary stay for us. A lot of the times when I think of this topic, I think of the songs like, "This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through." And Jerry actually led for one for us this evening. "Here we are, but straying pilgrims." All of us here seek a homeland. That homeland's heaven. And this earth is merely our journey. And at times it can be a long, hard journey. But we can get through it. The journey compared to the vacation is always the shortest part. And that relates to us as well. Our journey is very brief here, although at times it may not seem like it. I'm sure if you ask some of the older folks here, they will let you know that life really does fly by. James chapter 4 and verse 14 says, "For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away." Our journey is nothing compared to what heaven will be. Heaven will be eternity. And at times we think we can grasp that concept, but really we can't. So why do you take a trip? Sometimes it's just for fun. Sometimes it's merely to get away from work. Sometimes it's to enjoy scenery that you've never seen before. Well, I know this is an obvious topic, but I'd like to look at a couple verses of why we want to get to heaven. Turn with me, if you would, back to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 10. Hebrews 11:10 reads, "For he," speaking of Jacob, "waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God." And then turn with me to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4 says, "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." Heaven is a place we can't imagine. No more crying. A city that God has built that's going to be perfect. And best of all, God is going to be there with us. It's a long trip full of struggles, but how do we eventually reach our final destination? Well, first you have to make the choice. When you go on a trip, you obviously have to decide where you're going to go. And this may seem obvious, but you have to make up your mind that you're going to heaven. You have to say to yourself that I'm going to heaven. I'm going to get there. When you look at successful people in this world, most of them have told themselves what they're going to do. They have goals, they have ambitions, and they don't stop until they reach those goals. It's the same for us. We're not going to accidentally get to heaven. we have to set our minds that we are going to get to heaven in order to make it there. Also, you have to know how you're going to get there. When you take a trip, you first decide if you're going to take the car or if you're going to take a plane. And if you end up taking the car, you got to get directions. Nowadays, we just type it in our phones and it tells us how to get there. But some of you young kids, believe it or not, you'd have to unfold this big map and then find out which route you were going to take based on what roads you think were best, what the shortest route would be, what could get you there in the least time. And oftentimes when I look at a map, I always look for the shortest route. And that's not always necessarily the best route. Sometimes highways can get you there a lot faster, which is something we have to be careful of. We have to beware of so-called shortcuts. Some people may tell us to get to heaven, you just have to believe in God. That's simply not true. There's no easy way into heaven. It's going to be hard no matter what we do. And also, when you look at a map, there's a million different options to reach your destination. But in the end, there's that one road that's going to take you to that town or city that you're getting to. So we have to decide which route we're going to take, but I'd like to compare the map to being our Bible. 2 Timothy 3:16, if you would turn there with me. Second Timothy 3:16 says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." Also, Psalms 119:105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Our lamp and the light to our path is the Bible. It's going to tell us how we are going to get to heaven. And the Bible is our only map, and it is a complete map. Sometimes when you take a road trip into a different state, you might have to open 3 or 4 maps. But the Bible is our one map that is clear throughout our entire journey. Although, at times, some people might try to add to the Bible. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians 1, beginning in verse 8, says, "But even if we..." "Or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed." Also, Colossians chapter 2, Colossians 2, verse 20 reads, "Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourself to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things with perish, with using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom and self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect of the body, but are of no value against indulgence of the flesh." Sometimes in the New Testament, you see Jesus rebuking the Pharisees because they were keeping commandments of men as the law. And that may seem like a good thing. Don't go here, don't do these things. But in the end, if that's all you're following, it's not going to keep you from indulging your flesh. You're going to have that true relationship with God, which only reading His Word can give you. Adding to this, the Bible clearly says, is not right. We have to take the Bible for its Word and only its Word. So, we have our map. Which route do we choose? The world would tell you, there's many different religions, and there's many different answers, and many different ways, and they're all correct. I was speaking with someone recently, and he told me, "I feel that no matter what you do, that as long as you're worshiping God, He's going to love you, and you're going to get to heaven," which just clearly is not true. And too many people are tricked into believing that. Jesus clearly states in Matthew 7 that there is one way. So I'm going to turn over there real quick. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." To me, the idea of many different answers is not a narrow way. It's a broad way. John 14:6 says, "Jesus said to him, 'I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.'" Jesus states that the only way to get there is through him. Romans chapter 6, I'm going to turn there real quick. Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 3. "Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with him, we believe we also shall live with him." If we want to live with Christ, we have to die with him. And it says here we do that through baptism. And if we want to live with him eternally, we have to stay on that narrow road, that narrow path. And Jesus says there are few who find that gate. So although you may find the narrow path, you have to stay on that path. There are fewer who find heaven. So how do we stay on that path? How do we reach our final destination? The whole purpose of a trip is to reach your vacation spot. The whole purpose of our life on earth is to reach heaven. So if we don't reach heaven, we failed. Our life was pointless. There are a lot of struggles that will hinder us from getting to heaven. On a road trip, you think of various road hazards that might set you back. Sometimes it could set you back hours, days, or even permanently. You may be on the right path and making great time, but something minor or major could happen that could seriously set you back. You could have a blowout, your car may break down, or you could even have a wreck. And most trips go well, some go bad. But on Earth, something's going to go wrong. It's not if, it's going to be when. We're going to face hardships in this life. The question is whether or not we will be ready to face those hardships. Matthew 5:45 says, "For God makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust." And then, God never promised us a good earthly life. He promised us a heavenly one if we followed him and do his will. Some days we might get rain, other days we might not. Also, we're going to face persecutions from both man and Satan. 2 Timothy 3:12. You turn there with me. 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. 2 Timothy 3:12 reads, "Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." Again, it's not a question of if, but a question of when. If you're living like you should, you're eventually going to face some type of persecution. Although it may not be major, it's going to be a form of persecution. 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning in verse 12. 1 Peter 4:12 says, "Beloved, do not think it is strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy." It says here, don't think it's strange if you face persecution, if something strange is happening to you. It's going to happen. Chapter 5, verse 8 And 1 Peter says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion." We're not only going to face persecution from men, but Satan's going to be there to try to knock us off our path too. But a comforting thought is that we can overcome anything that Satan throws at us. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you, except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation, you will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." And then I'd like to turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 35. Romans 8:35 says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As is written, 'For your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter.' Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." That's a comforting thought to me. No matter what happens to us in this life, whether people persecute us or whether Satan's trying to bring us down, nothing can separate us from the love of God. And only ourselves can separate us from his promise. And no matter what trials we face, we can also count that as a good thing. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 3 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience." Also in Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 4 read, "And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope." To me, the idea of tribulation producing perseverance and perseverance, character, the more tribulations we go through, the more character we're going to build, which means the better we'll be able to withstand the next trials that come our way. Also, to reach our destination, we have to continue to stay focused, no matter what we're doing. Sometimes on a trip, you might get drowsy. You might start to nod off a little, which is never good. Other times, you may be enjoying the scenery. You may be looking around, not paying attention to the road, and you may start to drift. And if you're doing that on a road trip, that could lead to serious problems. You may not think so, but you're enjoying the scenery over to here to the left, and then all of a sudden, you're in a ditch on the right. And it happens just like that. And Hebrews chapter 2 talks a little bit about drifting. "Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away." We always have to keep our eyes focused on the road. That's something you're taught in driving school. Keep your eye on the road. If you don't keep your eye on the path to heaven, you're going to drift. And this case in Hebrews, I think it's talking about a slow drift. But nonetheless, you're drifting. You may not notice at first, then all of a sudden, you're way off course. You're in a place you never wished you were in. And sometimes it can take a lot to get back. And sometimes you may never make it back. One thing you have to do is stay focused. Stay focused on the prize. Hebrews chapter 4, turn with me there. Hebrews chapter 4, beginning in verse 11. Hebrews chapter 4, beginning in verse 11 says, "Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience." Here it says we have to be diligent to enter that rest, which means always pursuing, always striving to reach that rest. Also, I'd like to read Philippians 3:14. One translation reads, "I press on to reach the end of the heavenly prize for which God through Christ Jesus is calling us." Here it refers to our heavenly prize, which is our home in heaven with God. We have to continue to press on to reach that. It's not something that's going to happen automatically. It's a long trip, but we can make it. Turn with me to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. We read a verse in chapter 6 earlier, but now I'd like to read verses 1 through 4. John chapter 14, beginning in verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also be. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Here it says, we know the way. We know the way to get to heaven. We just have to do it. It speaks as Jesus has prepared mansions for us. And isn't that a place you want to be? A place with a mansion that was prepared for you? But sometimes on trips, we might take wrong turns. And sometimes you can take a wrong turn and not even realize it until you're even 2 or 3 hours down the road and you're in a town you've never heard of, or you're in the wrong state. And it can take you a long way to get back. But the comforting thought is that God is always there to take us back. Luke chapter 15 is a familiar story to all of us. Luke chapter 15, I'm going to begin reading in verse 8. For what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have lost the piece which I have lost. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Also, I'd like to read a passage in 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If we have found ourselves down the wrong road, down the wrong path, God is always there for us. He's ready to take us back. And there's going to be much rejoicing in heaven if we do turn back. I'd like to recall the passage I just read in John chapter 14. Jesus has prepared a mansion for us. Isn't that a place that you want to be at? If you have never gotten on this road to begin with, if you've never submitted your life to Christ in baptism and followed his word, or if you have made a wrong turn, God's there to bring you back. And we're here to help. If you have any need, please come forward as we stand and sing. I have been